Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Jumping Monkeys is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 11 for August 18th, 2007. Chunkalunks. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. Jumping Monkeys, episode 11, Kukulunks. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
So we're going to talk... What is Kukulunks? What is that?
This is Karen Walmrod's website. It's her blog. It's her photography blog, and it's beautiful.
Oh, neat.
And I met her through my blog back before the boys were born, right? When we adopted her daughter, she started blogging, and I've just been keeping in touch with her site, and she's been looking at my site, and I had some people email me wanting some more information about adoption, and I thought, oh, well, I think she'd be a great person to talk about that. And so, yeah, I invited her, so we'll talk to her a little later on. I'm excited about that.
Good, but let's do your links before we go too much farther.
Yes, let's do my links.
Okay.
I have to find them. Hold on.
So one of the things we do is spend, save, give.
This
comes from the old idea of when you give a kid an allowance, one third of it they can spend. Mm-hmm. I've never was able to do this, by the way. One third of it they can give, and one third of it they can save. Give being charity.
Save you were.
You notice I had trouble with that.
Yeah, that was the one. I want to start with give. This
give.
Week. This is greendimes.com, greendimes.com, and I found this on Maggie Mason's site, Mighty Goods, and it's very cool. You can buy this kit for $15 to reduce your junk mail by 90%. So the give part is giving back to the world, because what they do is when you buy a kit, they also plant a tree for you. So I bought one. And I just did it last week, so I don't know
if
it's worked
yet. What do you do with it?
They're sending you already pre-posted, addressed cards to all the people that you say, take me off your list, take me off your catalog list. And it's supposed to reduce your junk mail by 90%.
Now, I did this myself by hand a few years ago, and it really worked.
It did.
It cut way back on the number of catalogs we got. But then we moved, and we ordered some stuff from catalogs, and now we're getting probably 3 or 4 pounds of catalogs a week.
Oh, man.
And so this really is a good idea.
Yeah.
And I have to do this again. I'm going to order it right now.
Yeah. The reason why I know it's going to work is that we actually have 2 mailboxes and 2 addresses. Like, I have a P.O. box, and then I have... It's just weird the way our house is set up. We have 2 addresses. And so we get double the junk mail. We actually triple the junk mail if you count the P.O. box. And so I put 1 address in there, and I'm going to test it to see if it actually works.
You know, that's a problem for me. I have a post office box, too, and most of the mail in there is flyers and leaflets and stuff. And it's kind of sad because at least the mail, the post office has a recycling bin right there.
Right.
But basically, the process is... You know, the mailman delivers it, puts it in my box. I open my box, I take it, I throw it in the recycling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I did.
It seems like such a waste.
It is.
And I don't think the post office wants to stop it. I'm sure it's a huge part of their revenue.
Especially now, I mean, I think all they get is
it's mostly
catalogs and Netflix.
Yeah. Netflix I don't recycle, but I just... These leaflets, does anybody look at them? I guess some people
cut
them out.
It's like spam. I mean, does anyone... People do buy things from spam, so I'm assuming people do buy things from leaflets.
Well, I'm going to sign up right now. Greendimes.com. I'm filling it out right now, so I will get my kit. They plant a tree, and then I will be able to cut back on my junk mail.
Right.
You can't... Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Told Jet their favorite catalog.
Is her favorite catalog? I'll give it to her.
Good, would you? She likes, of course, we like the L.L. Bean and she likes Anthropology and Abby likes, there's a few Abby likes, like American Apparel she loves. Oh. Then
American
there's my
Apparel.
Favorite. I call it Boston Improper. Have you seen the Boston Proper catalog?
No. We get all different catalogs than you do.
It's kind of slutty clothes.
Really?
Basically.
for men?
No, I shouldn't say this because there's somebody listening who gets her wardrobe from Boston Improper. No, it's for girls, women. Strippers, mostly, I think. I'll show you sometime.
Okay, please
I love
do.
That catalog, Boston yeah. Improper. So I'm not. Can you tell them not to stop sending some of them?
No, but
slutty's not the right word. Attractive, sexy, slutty.
Depends on if you're, you know, if your wife's gonna wear them or your daughter.
It depends
right?
If my wife is listening, I call them, you know, slutty.
Uh-huh.
If it's just me and the guys, it's like the kind of girl I'd like to get to know better. See, there you go.
Oh dear.
This is the part where I edit this part out too.
I don't know. It took us what, 3 minutes?
Didn't take long.
To say something inappropriate.
Didn't take long.
Spend. Okay, these are really cool. Wally's. This is Wally's.com. This is great art for your kid's wall that comes off with water. It's little decals, and you actually just put them on with water, and then they come off with water. It's W-A-L-L-I-E-S.
Oh, good, because I spelled it W-A-L-L-Y-S, and I got Wally's Weird Voices.
WALLIES.com. And this is great. If you know, because like we have airplanes on the kids' walls, and you know, they're not going to like airplanes forever.
This
so
is
you
cool.
can just, yeah, they're really cool. You can put them on gifts and everything.
And they peel off easily?
With water. Yeah. They peel. They
so just, you don't ruin the paint?
No. Mm-mm.
They've got a chalkboard, a peel and stick chalkboard.
Oh, yeah. That must
wow.
be
wow. Wow.
I'm a big fan of the Wally's.
I would like that on my wall.
You would?
Look it.
In here, they would look great. We should get some Wally's for in here.
Well, okay, the they've got big cool. murals.
Yeah. You'd probably like the fishes. Fairies, like the one that Annabella has in her room.
I actually want a unicorn.
It's oh,
a unicorn
yeah.
And a
unicorn
rainbow.
Mural.
Wouldn't that be nice in here?
That would be nice in here.
Actually, you know, I'm thinking of renting the downstairs part of this building and turning it into a television studio.
Oh.
You know, so we can do video.
Yeah. Does and that mean I have to wear makeup?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you look naturally gorgeous. You don't need anything.
Thanks.
Nothing at all. But I think that these would be very nice to have on the wall of our new studio.
Yeah.
Let's see what else they have. Space.
Yep.
Sway. Oh, girly headboard. See, that's great.
Oh, yeah. The girly headboard is really
Abby,
cute.
Abby might like that.
She probably would.
That looks like it's it comes out of like, who's the girl who lived in?
Eloise.
Eloise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's real. So if your kid is just sleeping on a mattress on the floor.
Right. Or if you're renting your house and you don't want to,
yeah.
you know, you don't want to just
nothing
have
permanent.
Like ugly, yeah, walls.
How hard are these to apply? Do they go on?
They're
there?
Really easy. I've done it and I'm not crafty. You just, honestly, you stick them in water, you put them on, you take a paper towel and you rub the paper towel on it. And it's done. It's like wallpaper, but it just comes right off with, and it's not, you know, it doesn't have all that sticky. I don't know how to put on wallpaper. I've never done that.
We stayed at a hotel last Christmas in Mexico. Where everything was painted on the wall, the headboard of the bed, the paintings, you know, like they had paintings hanging on the wall, but they were just painted on
the wall. So you couldn't steal them.
I don't know. It's just like, basically you're in a cement room that looked like it had real stuff.
Yeah.
Because the bed itself was just a cement lump on the floor, right. You know, a thing on the floor. But they painted it all so it looked like a real bed with a real headboard. It was pretty funny.
Really? There wasn't a bed?
No, it was, it's all made of concrete, right? Uh-huh. So it was just a concrete platform.
Huh.
That they put a mat. There was a mattress.
Oh, yeah. Like, how much did you pay for this so-called hotel?
Very affordable. It only came to problems when the I tried to use the toilet that was painted on the wall. That didn't work, so.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it was a beautiful hotel. But I think that, you know, you don't want in a tropical environment, you probably do want to paint stuff on the wall instead of having real wood and real paintings.
Right.
This is neat. Oh, I love this.
Yeah. So now that was spend.
That's
and now
spend.
We'll get to save. We talked, we've been talking about all the stuff that comes with having a baby, the high chairs, the bouncy chairs, the vibrating chairs, the jumpies.
Primary colored plastic everywhere.
And, you know, it seems like you're going to use it forever because it seems like your baby's going to want it. But it's really like, what, like 6 months or something? So
it's so funny how time is dilated with a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look back and it was like a blink.
Right, yeah. So this is a cool site that I found called Zwaggle, Zwaggle. And what you can do is it's like a Craigslist sort of. What you do is you earn points. You can earn points by referring friends or giving away your baby stuff. So
that's
and then
neat.
You use the points to get stuff that
other
you need.
Stuff.
Yeah. So, like, say you have, you know, the bouncy chair and you don't need it anymore. You send it in and then you use your points to get a high chair, which you need now. Or
see, everybody does this with friends and family. You always right. hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem a little harder to do it with strangers, or is it just you get used to it and it's just the same thing?
We do it in my mother's club a lot. Like, there's, you know, sell and give away stuff. So they're relative strangers. I mean, they're people you could run into downtown. But so this is you can find people locally.
You probably
you
get
can find
totally
people.
Used to, I mean, we're all the same.
Right.
Just because I don't know you.
Right. Yeah.
A stranger's just a friend you haven't met.
Exactly. And they do require a credit card on this site. They don't use the credit card, but they use it to verify that your shipping address is, you know, who you say you
are.
Or
to punish you if you don't do it right.
I don't think they use it to punish you, but I think they use it to...
This is good. A Lamaze drop and pop activity gym. What do you think that even is?
Drop and pop activity gym? We should do like contests where we, you know, say, what is that kind of thing?
It's a drop.
Drop and pop? What drops and what pops? That doesn't sound good.
Well, especially with the word Lamaze, it sounds like it's a pregnant person.
Lamaze is a brand of baby stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing that. Because that's confusing.
Yeah.
Because then it's a method and a brand?
Right.
That's
yeah.
not right. Zwaggle, ZWAGGLE.com.
Yeah, I signed up. And
so have you done it yet?
I haven't given anything away, but
so good.
You can sign up.
We have a garage full of stuff I'd love to give away.
You still do? You've given us away.
You know what the number one category is?
What?
Sporting goods.
Ooh.
Youth lacrosse helmet, got it.
Oh, yeah.
BMX bike, got it. Oh, I'm going to use this. Riding helmet, Louisville shoulder pads, because the kids grow out of these just as fast.
Yeah, that's true. Probably, yeah.
Girls Electra Hawaii Cruiser. Ooh,
yeah.
That is a nice bike.
That is a nice bike.
Holy Ooh. Cow. That's going to be gone before the show airs. Now,
yeah, it's a lot. Of, there's so like a, is, I saw a Wii on there.
This is 200 zoints value.
Oh, yeah. They're not points. They're called zoints.
Zoints. And you could pay for shipping. So that's the problem on some of this.
Yeah. Also, earning points by referring friends. I'm not a big fan of that technique.
No.
Are you?
No.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of spammy, right?
Right.
I guess it's all right if it's friends. I mean, we just referred a lot of friends. Give us your Zwaggle points. So I go points. Zoinks.
Yeah.
We'll take your zoinks.
Yeah, we did just refer a bunch of people for free.
For free. We don't
See
even ask for points.
How much we care about you.
Zwaggle.
You know what time it is?
Time for another book recommendation?
Yes, it is.
I'm ready to read. What do you got?
Oh, this is one of our favorites, and it's probably one of a lot of people's favorites, but I don't know if you've got it on audible.com yet. It's Green Eggs and Ham and Other Servings of Dr. Seuss.
I love Dr. Seuss so
Yeah,
much.
This is great. And Green Eggs and Ham, of course, wonderful. And there's also, I can't remember the other books
I'll tell
that
you.
Are on here.
You want to know? One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
And I am not going to get up today. I think that's one of the stories.
But listen to who reads it, okay? Jason Alexander
yes.
reads Green Eggs
yeah.
and Ham. David Hyde Pierce reads One Fish, Two Fish.
Mm-hmm.
I loved reading One Fish, Two yeah. Fish. I read that a lot. Oh, The Things You Can Think by Michael McKean of Spinal Tap fame.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Alexander again, I'm Not Gonna Get Up Today.
Mm-hmm.
McKean again on Oh, Say Can You Say. Fox and Socks by David Hyde Pierce. That is a hard one to read.
Yeah.
That's the tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
I specialize in that.
Yeah.
I could read you Fox and Socks so fast you wouldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. Sometime maybe I'll do that on the show.
Yeah, you should just start.
Pop on Pop, Dr. Seuss ABC. This is great. You want to hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Click here to listen to Other Servings of Seuss. That's what this is, right? Other Servings of Seuss.
Green Eggs and Ham and Other Servings.
Oh, I see. No. Okay, then they have that points to some other books. Okay, here's Green Eggs. And I do have the technology. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Green Eggs and Ham. I am Sam. I am Sam.
No, I am Sam.
Sam, I am. That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am.
He's getting into it. That's great.
Yeah.
Doesn't even sound like George Costanza. But
yeah,
it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Are we done listening to that?
You want to hear more?
Oh, no. That's okay. I was waiting for him to... I thought he was taking a long
Do you
pause.
Like green eggs and ham?
Again.
I do not like them, Sam I am.
It was a long pause. He's good. He's doing characters.
Yeah.
I love
it's excellent.
That's the best to me. And I want you to understand about Audible, this is for when you can't read to the kids. And you can't, you know, sometimes it's nice to have something for them.
In the car. Excellent.
Car. But can't it's really fun to read to the kids and to do voices like that. Yeah. I just love doing that.
And what I really like about the books that we listen to on in the car are often books that we also own and read.
Right.
Because then they can imagine the pictures.
Right.
I mean, when they're really young. When they're older, they can, you know, imagine themselves. But I really... to watch the kids sometimes in the rearview mirror, and
so
I know
cute.
They're like thinking about
they can
the
see
pictures,
the book.
And yeah.
So as long as they don't come back and say, "Daddy, can you read it like Jason Alexander?" No. So this is one of many, many kids' books, and lots of, by the way, Dr. Seuss, Curious George also. There's some great stuff on Audible.com. If you're not an Audible member, we want to invite you to join. They're a sponsor of this podcast by going to audible.com/monkeys. And signing up, in fact, you get a credit when you sign up for a book. It could be this book or any of the thousands of great books for kids, grown-ups. They've got everything from science and fiction and fantasy to technology to business books, classics, fiction and nonfiction alike. I read probably two or three books a month from Audible. I just love it. It's a great way to get a lot of reading done and just enjoy the heck out of it. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support, and we invite you to join Audible and become an Audible listener like Megan and I, as Megan and I are, like me and Megan.
Reading makes you smart.
Yep, he sure does. Yep. Okay, let's move on.
I think it's time for some links.
I want to do Fox and Socks. I actually want to do a dramatic reading of Fox and Socks.
Right now?
I can't, because then
we have to
the
pay
Seuss,
Dr. Seuss
estate would sue me.
Mm-hmm.
Socks, box, Knox. Knox and box, Fox and socks. Knox on Fox, in socks, on box. And on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember that?
Yeah, Dr. Seuss. I mean, no one compares to Dr. Seuss. No one comes close.
It seems simple and yet so good.
No, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, some links.
Gooey goo for chewy chewing.
This link was sent to me by our friend Denise Howell.
Hi, Denise.
Been on the show, and
hi, Denise.
Does This Week in Law.
It's got a new one coming out this week.
Excellent.
Yes.
This was a study that said the National School Board recommends use of social networks in schools.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. I know. They just said that really people
as long as it's
stop...
not MySpace.
Yeah. Well.
No? What?
Just, you know, this study was funded by Microsoft, News Corp, and Verizon.
Oh.
I know Microsoft has their social networking, and News Corp obviously owns MySpace. I don't know. Does Verizon own a social network?
No, but they aspire to.
Oh.
So let's presume it was a good study. What,
yeah.
What did they say?
They just said that people should stop basically, you know, poo-pooing, and it really has some, you know, the kids are going to use it anyway.
That's, I guess, the most important point. They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. So
make it be a useful educational.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's files.nsba.org.
How do they suggest it be integrated, though, into the curriculum? I mean, you know what would be cool? Well, for instance, okay, your husband teaches at Sonoma Academy. I shouldn't say that out loud. They could figure it out by now. Your husband teaches at a school where my daughter attends, which shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have computers. And this is what I would do. Instead of saying, oh, let's use MySpace or Jing or Facebook, which they are all using, but create a school a social network. Maybe use Jing to create one that's just private to the school.
Yeah.
That would be the way to do it. I mean,
yeah.
That's what Facebook was originally.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
And then you don't have to worry about weird strangers and so forth.
Right.
Stranger danger.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
But I mean, at this point, I think most of them do have like their school groups and everything already. So would they switch over to the school one? I don't know.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that some practical advice about how to incorporate it would be useful.
Digication, which is a company my sister works for, does social networking sites for schools. They're private sites. DIGI. We did it on Inside the Net. Oh, you were there.
You.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did on Inside the Net. And that's the kind of thing that they could set up. And then maybe when they're incoming freshmen, if they all get an account, they maybe just start incorporating that.
Mm-hmm.
They might. I mean, who's on your network? It's mostly the kids you go to school with, right?
Right? We'd hope.
Well, I mean, my daughter has friends from camp. And
yeah.
I guess it's more than just...
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting study.
Did they say how to use it? No, they just say use it.
Mm.
Yeah. Rupert Murdoch says there's nothing wrong with MySpace.
They're great.
Let me write you a check.
Okay, so the next link. Have you heard of Wired's new how-to wiki?
I didn't know Wired had a how-to
they
wiki.
They do. It's howto.wired.com.
Because there are other how-to wikis in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, but not done by Wired. No. That's why it makes it new.
It's howto.wired.com?
Yes.
Let me look at it. Because I look at howto.com all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty new. I think maybe a month or so old. And it's...
How to run Windows on a Mac.
Yeah, but this link was how to teach your kid to program.
Wow.
So
let me read that. I'd like to read
yeah.
that.
So you could probably search for it if you don't have that link that I sent you.
You sent me links?
I did send you links.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going by rote. I was listening. They're typing
for,
them in as you,
you
talk
can look
to them.
For Chukalunks
links. Here we go. Okay. So let me
yeah,
go there.
So
that's very
teach
curious.
Your
teach your kids how
to program.
I'm curious what it says because I'd like to read this.
Yeah, it's a lot of interesting different things. I mean, I was shocked at the amount of responses to this. It's basically
Logo,
like someone asked
yeah.
the question. Yeah.
Lego Mindstorms, Game Maker. There's Alice. That's what I would recommend. Alice is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Alice is incredible. Pipes. There you go. Oh, this is great because it's a wiki. So everybody can participate
right.
and add to it.
Yeah. And there's a section for comments below. So I guess if you're not actually part of
Neat.
The wiki. Yeah. I think there's a lot of interesting things. It's pretty new, their wiki is, but Wikipedia used to be new.
Here's an interesting point, a post by Tom L., who talks about the Piaget, you know, stages, learning stages
oh, yeah.
that Piaget discovered mm-hmm. in children. And of course, it would apply to programming. And he says at certain ages, kids are able to understand certain concepts, but
right.
not others. So
yeah.
you've got to be careful about
yeah.
what you, where you introduce them to. It may
right.
be beyond their capabilities.
Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's howto.wired.com. We'll
okay.
put a link in the show notes.
All right.
So here's a video that really you guys need to watch.
Ready,
to
set, Bumbo.
Okay, let's talk about Bumbo or these new things. They're even newer than any of my kids. Like, we didn't even have the... I think they were maybe around...
When I was young, we didn't have... Pluto was
I
a
know.
Planet.
A Bumbo
what
is...
a Bumbo?
A Bumbo is a thing that, you know, that helps a baby who's too young to sit up. Helps him sit up. It's just basically like it's like looks like it's formed to the shape of a baby's bottom and they can just sit up on
is
their
it a,
own.
Is it like a weeble wobble but they don't fall down kind of thing?
They don't even weeble or wobble. They just sit up. They kind of fit. Well, you can
now,
see.
Now, is that a good idea? Don't you think a kid should have to figure out how to do this on their own?
I'm not
going
to judge.
Will they have a Bumbo at, you know, when they get to college? No. They're going to have to know how to sit up by then.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea. I don't know if like a, you know, if doctors say that it's necessarily
let's
good.
Watch the,
but,
let's look at the tape.
This is really funny.
Let's go to the tape.
Yeah.
This is the Bumbo video.
It's how it's ready,
ready
set,
set
Bumbo.
Bumbo. Is this come from the Bumbo people?
No, it's just a guy.
Bumbo.
It's done with some stop action.
Ready,
this
set,
doesn't, normal so. Bumbos don't do this. Stop motion photography.
The kid is driving around in his Bumbo.
You have to go search for Ready,
oh,
Set, Bumbo.
Oh my God, is that
on
funny.
YouTube.
Oh, he's, what this is like that
stop motion.
Yeah, there's a lot of this is whole.
Yeah.
Oh, he teleports upstairs. Watch.
Yeah.
Oh, this is incredible.
It is.
And no children were harmed in the manufacturers, I hope.
Yeah, that's he actually said that. I think
it's so cute.
It's really cute. There's two videos. There's Ready, Set, Bumbo 2, and then there's a preview for the third
this
one.
This is a little baby. This is like a 3 month old. I mean,
yes.
This is a really little baby.
Yeah.
So Bumbo, there's just a little chair they sit in.
Right. This is not an advertisement for Bumbo, but I had to explain what a Bumbo was because I knew you wouldn't know what it is.
That is so cute. Look at
but,
that Bumbo
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, I just imagine like you just... I just love the idea of how long it took this. I think it's a dad. It has like a guy's name.
This is what happens when dads stay home.
Exactly. Yeah.
What'd you do today? Did you go to the park?
Right. Because no. stop motion, isn't it? Like, do you have to take like a picture each time?
A picture
time?
A frame.
Yeah. And
so this is a 2 minute movie.
Yeah. You kind of look at it. It's hilarious.
So 30 frames a second.
Yeah.
So that's 1,800 frames a minute. So it's about 3,600.
Right.
Individual pictures.
And this is only one of three videos. Pretty funny. The second one involves a dog and an evil fluffy dog.
I've seen videos like this on skateboards and driving. And there's actually a whole series of these of a guy driving a car. I think they're from the 50s.
Yeah.
Only he's not. He's sitting on his butt. Have you seen those?
They're
pretty
yeah.
funny.
But yeah, this is funny.
Inspired by the Bumbos are clearly inspired by this. This is Ready, Set, Bumbo 2.
Yes.
So this guy's already like got a Bumbo franchise.
I think it's just a guy in his house. I mean, but well, I don't know.
Let me see my 67,000 views, but we're gonna get that over a million by the time we're done.
I think that Bumbo. That Bumbo should pay him some money.
They should. Makes you want a Bumbo.
Yeah.
Are you ready to chunk-a-lunk?
I am ready to chunk-a-lunk-um. Chunk-a-lunks.
Let's say hello to...
Karen Walrod.
How do you pronounce...
Chunk-a-lunks?
Chunk-a-lunks, perfect.
Chunk-a-lunks.
And,
is that Tobagan or...
Trinidadian, yes, it is. It means sweetheart. You use it for children.
That's a long word for sweetheart. Chunk-a-lunks.
I know, but it works. You're such a chunk-a-lunks, Leo.
Chunk-a-lunks. Yeah, I can totally see it. So did you grow up there and then move to Houston, back to Houston? What's the...
Yeah, sort of. I my dad was in the oil business, and Trinidad actually has a huge oil industry. And so we sort of moved back and forth. So I was born there, spent the first few years of my life there, then came to Texas and went back there, and then came to Texas, then went back there. So I'm sort of split personality that way.
I tell you, just from looking at your pictures, it looks so beautiful.
Oh, it is a beautiful place. I miss it.
All the flowers.
Mm.
All the coffee.
All the crime.
Is there a lot of crime?
There is, actually. It's very sad, and it's sort of recent that the crime has been there. But hopefully one day Trinidad will go back to its loving self.
We, for some reason, I don't know why, but we used to have a lot of viewers in Trinidad and Tobago. We used to get calls from Trinidad and Tobago a lot of
You do have sort of a Trini vibe to you, Leo.
Is that it? Well, I'm wondering maybe if there are a lot of young people who want to learn about technology there or something like that.
I think that's probably really true. There's a huge technology university in Trinidad. Again, because of the oil and gas industry, there's a lot of people that are in, you know, engineering or geology, geophysics, and that sort of thing. So I think that's probably it.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
Look at these pictures. What kind of camera do you use?
Well, all Nikons. I shot with a D100 at first, and then my husband gave me a D200. So I both usually, mostly the D200 at this point. But if I'm ever on the beach, then I take the D100.
Right, the old beater cam. No, they're just gorgeous. I mean, just
thank you.
Beautiful pictures.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's an easy place to shoot.
Yeah.
And lots of cute kids. What I like about your blog, did you always do it this way, that you had a picture and then text?
Sort of. I guess actually originally I started with just text when I started, I guess, about 3 years ago in the old format. But photography has been a hobby of mine for about 10 years. And when I moved to Trinidad, as you can see, there's such a lot to shoot that I really sort of revived that. Also, I stopped working as a lawyer when we moved back to Trinidad, so I had a lot more free time and I could play more. So it kind of evolved, and then eventually I just switched it to be more photography and then add text when I felt like it.
Now, so was that a decision that you made when Alex was a certain age also?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because you know, it started out, the whole reason that I started blogging in the first place was to help family members, because I'm obviously from Trinidad and my husband's English, and we were living in Texas at the time, to help them kind of feel comfortable with the whole decision to adopt that we had just recently made. And so, you know, it started out right before Alex was born, and then I started blogging. I blogged about, you know, adoption, what we were dealing with. And then after a while, I started thinking, I'd always decided I was going to end it pretty early on, because there comes a time when it's no longer blogging about your cute kid, but sort of invading your kid's privacy. So that was one reason I did. But the other one was also, I just didn't want the whole adoption thing to follow her wherever she went. I mean, we're obviously very open about the fact that she was adopted, but you know, at some point it needs to be her story to tell more than my story to tell. And so that was sort of my way of transitioning it into just being a blog about, you know, our life and our life as a family, and less about the fact that Alex came to us through adoption.
Yeah, your blog, your first blog, was so compelling. I think we found each other on the internet around the time you started it, before she was born.
Yeah, actually, it's more I found you. I think it was really funny because I was, you know, I was just sort of, you know, surfing as you do. And I came across Jumping Monkeys and I thought, you know, God, this is really sort of cool. This whole, you know, what is this called? That funny word blog. And I thought, because, you know, our families were actually sort of, you know, surprised that we had considered doing adoption, especially because unlike a lot of families, we weren't dealing with infertility. We chose adoption as our first choice to grow our family. And I thought, well, wow, this blogging thing is a really neat way to kind of keep them up to date on a daily basis about, you know, what we're going through. And so I found you, and I mean, I totally remember emailing you going, hi, you don't know me. I know me from Adam, but can you tell me how you do this? And Megan was wonderful enough to point me in the direction of Typepad as a blogging platform, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Oh, but you make Typepad look really good, I have to
say.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're not using Typepad anymore, right?
No. I use a blog photography. It's actually called My Expressions, and it's for photo bloggers, really.
Ah.
So I left Typepad behind to do this because I think it does a better job of featuring photography.
Yeah, it's totally gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you downplay the comments. I mean, you have comments, it really is the photograph first, the text second, and then the comments kind of in the lagging third.
Yeah, I like that because at first I thought you were just purely doing a photo blog now. And, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, here's text.
Here's some text, yeah.
It's really for people who want more, who go looking for it. I like that.
Thank you very much. Although, you know, it's really funny because the other thing is, you know, after blogging for a few years, I sort of felt like, oh, I'm just putting, you know, too much out there and it's just too personal. I need to pull back and, you know, have a little cocoon around my family. And if anything, actually, it feels much more personal doing the photography because with words, I can sort of, you know, spin them and create them
Right.
But with photographs, I mean, there's no hiding what's in the photograph. That is my life, right? I mean, there's no sugarcoating it or anything else. And so it does actually feel a little bit more exposed doing it this way, but I still like it.
Do you start with the photograph or the text?
Ooh, that's a great question. It sort of depends on the day. I try to shoot every day, and sometimes there's something sort of really going on in my life. There was a post I did recently about reconnecting with a friend of mine from college, and she was telling me that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was just had this amazing outlook. You know, it wasn't forced. She was just so positive about, you know, what she was going through, and there was no sort of self-pity. And I remember just sort of, you know, gaping at her like, God, you know, you're amazing. And I knew I wanted to blog about that. I'd asked for permission to blog about it. And so I found this gaping fish that I had in my office. And I shot that just so that I could talk about the fact that I was just incredulous at how wonderfully she was dealing with that. So sometimes it's that way. But because I shoot every day, probably more often than not, it's because I see something that strikes me as beautiful, and then I'll put it up. Sometimes the text has absolutely nothing to do with the image, but and sometimes I just have really nothing else to say but the image. So it sort of goes either way.
The reason I ask is because it seems like a great way to get through the writer's block that a lot of bloggers have, looking at a blank page. Oh, we'll start with a photo.
Yeah, and that definitely does do that. Or sometimes it's just, you know, I'll find something and like, you know, what is that? There's one I did of a flower that was just really weird a few weeks ago. And I took the shot and I was like, does anybody know what the heck this is? You know, kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, it's, it does help that way. I have to say this feels more true for me the way it is now than it was before.
So now do you see your photo blog as more of a way of connecting with friends and family or people that you've met online?
Oh, well, when I started 3 years ago, because it was sort of an adoption blog, basically adoptive parents tend to be very voracious when it comes to looking for other information about other adoptive families. And so it really grew a lot. And at this point, I would probably say, even after having switched the format, 90% of the people who comment or visit are people I've never heard of or never met in real life. Certainly family members and friends do keep up with it and keep up with my life that way. But it's just more of a me shouting out into the ether and seeing who answers back. I also send out sort of, you know, newsletters every 3 months or stuff to people who are close to me. And I talk about things that I would never blog about in that. So my friends and family probably have a have other ways of delving deeper into our lives. But yeah, at this point, it's more about connecting with people I don't know, actually. And I have. I've made some really good friends and learned about really interesting people through it.
I wish I were half the photographer you are. I mean, I can't stop going through these images.
Oh.
So you've given up your practice entirely, or now that you're back in Houston, will you go back to work? Or
it's actually really funny you should ask that. This Monday, I just accepted a job to go back to law. So I'm actually going to be going back starting at the end of this month to practicing law.
And your daughter's three, four?
She's three. Yeah. But the cool thing about this job actually was I was contacted by people who I had worked with in the past. They're at a different company now. And I told them I wanted to work from home and they agreed. Oh. So I'm going to be mostly working from home anyway, which is nice. So I get to practice in my field and also jealously guard the time I have with my daughter as well.
That's great.
Yeah.
You don't have to forgive us if we sound a little dazed. We're just staring at your pictures.
Just I'm glad you
so
like it.
Great. Well, and I think what a nice idea to do one a day and have the text. And it looks like you're very consistent. I mean, do you ever have days where you just want to give up and not post anything?
There have been a couple of days where I've really posted it right under the wire, like it's 15 minutes before midnight type thing. The reason I actually have decided that I was going to do it one a day is this year at least, was because our adoption is an open adoption, so I am in contact with Alex's birth mother. And I thought that it would be really cool. You know, they have these things online where you can, you know, make a book or from your blog posts,
right,
or whatever,
right,
or a book from your images.
Oh, so
and so I did it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sort of like a little coffee table book, I guess. But I mean, I'm not selling it. It's going to be for family members and for her birth mother at the end of the year. I'll probably give her one. And it's, you know, sort of a nice way that she can feel connected to what we've been doing. Obviously, she could log on anytime she wanted, but it's sort of a nice little...
It's nice to have that rationale and impetus to do it, and it gives you a reason, and you go ahead and you do it.
Yeah, and I promised myself that for at least 2006. 2007. We'll see if I feel as dedicated in 2008. But
yeah, that's hard. So we had a few listeners who emailed me and asked that we did talk to someone about adoption and how people might use the internet in that process. So you agreed to explain a little bit about the sites and experience you had using the internet during the process.
Sure. It was really funny. I think when you contacted me and said, you know, we'd like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, how technology helped, you know, in your whole adoptive family journey. And at the time, when my first blush was, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, I blog. I
don't,
yeah. What is this technology of which you speak? Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. But then, you know, I started thinking about it and I thought, God, you know, I really have used it a lot. I mean, I found the adoption agency by surfing the web. I obviously found out about you and started my own adoption blog, obviously through the web as well. There's some really great forums. There's one called adoptionforums, I think, .com or forumsadoption.com that has a lot of bulletin boards and that kind of thing. And I certainly did a lot of connecting and, you know, getting information from other people that were going through a similar process as we were through that. And I was addicted to that during the time that we were waiting, because the time that you're waiting to either meet your child or meet the birth family of your child is a really excruciating time. And it's a great way to sort of connect to other people that are going through the same thing. And I've done online scrapbook. I mean, it's really funny. And like I said, when I finally started thinking about it, I thought, my God, everything we've done has been, you know, on the internet or, you know, via computers. Another thing that was when you go to an agency, a lot of agencies will ask you to do a dear birth mother letter or a dear birth mother's book. And what this is a, I like to call it marketing collateral, but basically you put together a package that you can submit to the agency that they can give to potential birth mothers so that they can be part of the process of choosing who will be the parents of their unborn child. And I did all of that, you know, with, you know, my iPhoto on my Macintosh. I put together a book using that. So it really was a big part of our process now looking back.
Although I have to say, because you don't think it's technology, that's really a sign that technology is assimilated. It's not technology. It's just stuff I use.
It's just life. Right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
And that's when you start seeing that, then you know, well, it is. It's just part of a life. People don't think of a toaster as technology or,
right,
you know, their
right
zipper or their car as technology. Those are all technologies, but they're just part of our lives now. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I mean, I use my computer a lot, but I would never describe myself as a particularly techie person. Probably more than a lot of people, but not nearly as much as them. My husband is much more into it than I am. You know, I'm sort of like, oh, you know, a blog? What's a blog? kind of thing when I started. But yeah, I mean, I definitely. And it's amazing how just user-friendly everything is. So, you know, if you're interested in doing it, anything having to do with technology, it's not that hard to get in on it anymore, I think.
But what you're doing with this, you couldn't do until there was an internet. I mean, this is unique. Would you think the adoption was different because of the internet than it would have been?
That's a great question. I think so. I definitely think so. I think probably, you know, years ago, if there was no internet, it would have been a lot more difficult to connect with other people who were going through the same thing. One of my very good friends, who I've actually never met in person, is a woman that I met on the adoption forums, and she and I shared a lot of very similar things. You know, we were both in interracial relationships. We were both in the process of adopting through open adoption. And actually, her daughter came to her family about a month before my daughter came to us. And so, and we have remained very close. And she was really sort of my support group when I was going through that, because even though I had friends who had been through adoptions, they had been through adoptions that were different from mine. So they had either adopted internationally, where we didn't, or they had adopted through the state, where there was never going to be any contact with the birth family, and we had an open adoption, or they adopted older children, we were adopting an infant. So it was a lot more difficult to find somebody who could really understand, you know, yeah, we have this full-on nursery in our house, and I'm not pregnant, and I don't know when I'm going to get this kid, and I'm feeling like the crazy lady down the street with a full-on nursery in her house, and nobody would be able to understand that unless they had
like
been through the same thing.
To see my dolly.
Exactly. You know, the old Miss Havisham sort of weirdness. Yeah. Right. So I think probably more than anything, that was the biggest thing that technology helped us with, was connecting with other people that were going through the same emotions and, you know, the same hurdles that we had to go through as well.
What is Love Thursday?
Oh, Love Thursday. Love Thursday was something I'd started about a year ago, I guess, maybe right around there. There was a time when people were starting to get really nasty on the internet. They had,
a time.
Was that in the past?
Has that stopped? God,
well, I'm hoping I've sort of, you know, blocked from it, I think. But there were blogs that were going up that were being really mean about other bloggers.
Yeah.
Just, you know, out and out, just vicious about, you know, other bloggers' kids, or, you know, making fun of, you know, real issues that bloggers were going through. Oh, you know, mocking people who were going through divorce, or just really vicious. And so I sort of started this kind of Love Thursday thing where I said, you know what, for Thursday, I'm going to blog something about something that I love in my life. And it'll be either an image, I'll post an image here, and it'll be a picture of, you know, I don't know, my kid playing with her favorite toy, or my kid and my husband together, or, you know, just a picture of graffiti that looks like a heart, or whatever, just anything, just to kind of prove that it's out there. And it really sort of caught on. It got really crazy for a while there.
Yeah.
And and I eventually, I did this along with a woman named Irene who lives in Paris. And her blog is momster.com, I think. Irene Nam.com, but her blog name is Momster, Momster. And because she had posted a picture of a leaf that looked like a heart that was really pretty. And it just got crazed, and it was huge for a while there. And then, you know, she actually sort of pulled away. She actually switched to a complete photo blog, and we didn't have time to keep going. So I really hope that people who were moved by it continue to do it. And I do try to put at least one photo up every week or so that has something to do with love on it. But it was great for a while. I mean, it was everywhere, and
it's a neat idea.
It was really good.
Yeah,
thanks. It was fun.
You went to Blogger in March. How was that?
The Blogger for Business.
Blogger.
Yeah, Blogger for Business. There was a business conference that Blogger had put on in March, and I did go to that. It was great. I also went to the the big, huge conference that they have in the summer last year. I didn't go this – I think it just ended this weekend. The business one was fantastic. It was really very focused at the time, and still today I work for AOL where I manage a lot of their blogs. And it was really great to sort of talk about, you know, how much do you put out there and how authentic do you – how do you remain authentic in your blogging voice so you don't sound like you're just corporate speak? And you, conversely, how do you make sure that you're not revealing so much that you could put your corporation in liability as well? So that was really good. BlogHer, the huge conference that I think the organization BlogHer is known for, it was a lot less about business and is a lot more about creating community, which is what I went to last year. I didn't make it this year, and I'm sort of kicking myself that I didn't go because all of the stories and everything sound pretty great. Did you guys go?
No.
You didn't make it. No, I got to go. They're good. They're doing good things there.
Are men allowed to go to BlogHer?
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. There are not very many who go because I think they sort of feel like what you just said, that, you know, the estrogen level might be a bit high. But, but you know, that they are definitely welcome to go and are encouraged to go as well.
We go to blog him, a.k.a. a.k.a. the Super Bowl.
Exactly right.
Hey, got a blog? Yeah. Bash forearms.
Now, is there a big dichotomy between mommy bloggers and non-mommy bloggers at BlogHer? That's what I've heard about.
You know, I think that was definitely true.
That's
at last
bad.
Year's BlogHer. Yeah, and honestly, that is part of the reason I didn't go this year, because that just felt weird, and that's not what it should be about. But from what I can see, and what I actually met with a good friend of mine this morning who went, and that was not the case this time. It was a lot more sort of lots of little communities sort of creating a bigger community, which I think is the point. So they seem to have exercised that demon, I think.
Yeah, and I don't like – that's why I don't like the word mommy blogger either, because it does sound diminutive. It doesn't sound like, you know, you're a blogger.
Or, right, or that you can say something political or anything.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that, and I don't really care one way.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, I'm a mom, and yes, and yes, I blog. But, you know, yeah, it should not be something that's, you know, that's – negative. Why? I mean, I think it, for me, what blogging has been, it's just been it's so powerful. It really focuses on how powerful words are, no matter whether or not you're a political blogger or a tech blogger, or, I mean, you really have the power to change perception, I think. And that's, to me, has been the most amazing thing, even in my own little, you know, corner of the internet. I had one woman recently, well, probably within the last 6 months, who emailed me from my blog and said, you know, I'm a 20-something-year-old white woman who grew up in Connecticut, and I live in New York City, Manhattan, and I'm a designer and or interior decorator or something, and I go to your blog every day. And if you had asked me that if I would have anything in common with a black West Indian woman who lives in the Caribbean who's 30-something years old, I would have said no way. And you're one of the first blogs I read every day. And I thought, you know, I think that's really powerful. I think people don't realize how much they can change perception with what they write and what they say and what they photograph and they put on the web. And so to me, everybody who decides to put up a little corner on the web is doing something incredibly powerful, even if they don't realize it. And so you can't really negate anybody as a result.
Such a wonderful creative thing, and it's kind of interesting to be part of something that is just totally a new medium. I mean,
and who would have thought, right? I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago or whatever, right?
You're well suited though, because you can you're a good writer, but you also have a visual eye, and I think the two of them go well, very nicely together. But that's what makes your blog unique. And frankly,
thank you.
The mommy part's great, but that's your life, and you're writing about your life, whatever your life is, whether it's your mommy or a daddy or, you know, you're trying to get George Bush out of office, whatever it is that you're writing about, it's what you care about, right?
Well, and that's exactly right. And for me, it, you know, again, the way my blog was before I turned into this, you know, mostly photo blog, was I had started also sort of feeling like I needed to talk about my kid. You know, I mean, that's what my audience wanted me to talk about.
Yeah.
And I did, you know, I mean, obviously my daughter is a huge part of my life, but it's not everything. I mean, I am not only a mom. There's a lot of other things about me, and I think that's why doing this photo a day sort of thing feels more true, because it shows a lot more of who I am. I mean, I'm obviously proud to be your mom, but I'm also, you know, proud to be a lawyer, proud to be proud to be a lot of from the Caribbean. I'm proud to be a lot of other things, and to just see me as only a mom, I think, is a pretty myopic way to look at it.
Well, there's many pictures of coffee as there are of Alex. So.
Well, there's a lot. I'm proud of my coffee. It's true.
It could be a coffee blog, okay? Coffee and flowers.
I do love my coffee and my flowers.
I want to bring back Love Thursday. I think that's such a nice idea.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We should only do love podcasts on Thursday.
Well, it's, you know, and it was, it's really hard to make it, to do it and not have people go, gag, right? But I really tried to do it in a way that it was like, you know, it's not, it's about just sort of focusing on the little joy in your life.
Yeah.
And it can make, you know, it can make everything seem a lot better if you, you know, just even make a point to look for something that makes you happy, or look, you know, focus on something that you love, whatever it is. I mean, if it's coffee, you know, so be it. But just to be able to focus on that for a little bit every day, or even on just at once a week,
so
makes life better.
It's interesting that you kind of at age three said, okay, I'm gonna kind of back off on talking about Alex now.
Mm. Yeah, although you see there's tons of photographs of her anyway. So it was sort of like I wanted to make it so.
That's very respectful, I think, and it's unusually respectful. Most parents with a 3-year-old go,
she had an accident. Here's a photograph of it.
That's my property. I think I'm still doing it with my 15-year-old. I hate to say
it. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think, I was talking to a friend of mine that probably the biggest thing that surprised me when I became a parent was how much of a little person, you know, Alex was. And it's really not so much about the fact that she's a kid as much as it is that she's a little person that just doesn't have a lot of experience. And that's sort of where parenting, I think, comes in. And I mean, I think back, if I ever found out that my mother posted pictures of my bare bottom on the internet or something, I'd be mortified, you know, even later. So I try to be really respectful of what I show.
Yeah. You said something about someone describing the tantrum that their child had and how embarrassing that would be to read later on. And I've definitely stuck with that. And I think about it when I'm writing, I'm thinking, okay, you know, will this embarrass my children later on?
Why?
Well, sure. And it's not even so much about embarrassment, but I mean, if you found out, you know, when you're a teenager that your mother posted pictures of you when you were clearly feeling real distress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as an adult, you might think, well, that wasn't a big deal to be distressed about, but for that kid, it's real. And it's just so disrespectful, I think, to, right, you know, to say, ah, ha, ha, isn't this funny? My kid's, you know, hysterical. It's not really respectful of their person, I think. So, you know, and I'm not one of those people that, you know, thinks I need to be my kid's best friend, because I'm definitely not. I am, you know, at my core, I'm a West Indian woman, and that means that I am mommy. But, you know, I mean, I also want to make it clear that I, you know, that I respect my kid.
Well, I've learned a lesson here.
Sorry.
quite a bit of things to go take down now.
Sorry.
We thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, Karen. Oh, it's so great to talk to you.
And you. Nice to finally hear it put a voice to the names. I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
And Chunkalunks is the blog.
Is it chunkalunks.blogphotography.com?
Yeah, actually, if you just go to chunkalunks.com, that'll take you to a portal that'll let you into the world. Okay. So, yeah, chunkalunks.com.
chunkalunks.
Perfect. Exactly right.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that's Karen Walrod and Chunkalunks. I love that. Just so, I'm going to call my daughter Chunkalunks from now on. Hey, Chunkalunks.
Yeah, her photographs are so amazing.
She's so good.
And her, just, I don't know, her ideas about blogging are just really inspiring, I think.
I love that Love Thursday.
Yeah.
I want to just, every Thursday, just put a love thing on the blog. Or
yeah.
I should do a love podcast.
You should do a love podcast.
Lovecast.
If you didn't already have the 35,000 podcasts that
you're
already doing.
What would you do for a love netcast?
I don't know. That's a good idea. Just talk about love.
People would think it was a sex podcast, but it wouldn't be. It would be a love podcast.
You would. I didn't think that.
You didn't think that?
No.
Hmm. That must be another one of those gender differences you hear so much about.
Oh, dear. So, should we hear from you? And when I mean you, I don't
mean
you,
me.
Leo.
You've heard enough of me.
This is a letter from David. He says, some of the tips and resources you have given out, Cafe Mom, Thrifty Mom, have really bought me some points with the wife.
Yes, that's what we're here for. We're here to buy wife points.
He says, yeah, I noticed that she's really been jamming Cafe Mom lately.
Aww.
Pretty new to the podcast and have a 6-month-old beautiful daughter named Zara. She rocks.
What a great name.
Not only has she been pretty impressed, I think he's talking about his wife now, because I seem more involved. See, our podcast is making him more involved, or at least seem more involved.
Sounds more.
Look at the great sights I found.
And then she says she has been much calmer. Must be the shared experience of the web.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, here's a letter from Jean-Paul. And he actually works for Apple. And he's a new dad. He told me I could say that he worked for Apple. It's not a secret. He's a total dork. He says, I love to listen to the shows at work on my commute home from Apple. And like right now when I'm parked off the side of the road because Sylvie is finally asleep and I can slurp off someone's Wi-Fi and have a moment of quiet.
So did you ever do that with drive the kid around to get her to sleep?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Something about the car and it's relaxing.
Yeah, doesn't work anymore.
No. Nope.
But yeah. I have a friend who bought a hybrid car, and then you know I talked to her a few days after, and she was like, it's too quiet to, I can't, you know, he doesn't fall asleep. I'm like, well, there's something really wrong with you driving around in your hybrid car so that your child can fall asleep anyway.
<It's> silent.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway, I understand Jean-Paul, and of course he's looking for Wi-Fi, so that's perfect.
Right. Yep. And he wants us to talk about how to get our non-geek partners, aka my wife, to take advantage of all this fantastic knowledge that is out there, web, podcasts, laptops, etc. He said, I've tried buying her a MacBook, subscribing her to Cool Mommy Podcast, her best, and continue to talk about the wonderful things the net has to offer. I send her links via email every other day. And before I bought her an iPhone, she would never even check mail. It was like the computer had fangs.
Wow.
It got so bad that my six-year-old son used her MacBook every day to video chat me at work, check his email, and go to YouTube to find a Star Wars parody.
The six-year-old's doing that.
He says, I will say this, the iPhone has been a bit of a savior. Now at least I can send her chats, emails with web links to cool things, and she at least reads the emails.
Cool.
So yeah, I don't think you're one to really advise on this topic.
No, Jennifer's the same way.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that about her. And I think that the wedge is the way to do it. That's what happened with Jennifer. She had to use email.
Yeah.
So I did the same thing. I gave her a Mac laptop. I gave her a 12-inch because it was small and kind of, you know, you know.
Small?
It was small. Oh, my mind is going. Anyway, I don't know why.
Unintimidating?
Unintimidating.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Very good. It was small and unintimidating, and she and learned to do email, and she started doing email, and that's pretty good. That's been kind of the wedge. So I think that's the key, is you got to find one little thing that gets them into it.
Yeah.
And then I dropped $8,000 on a camera and a Mac, iMac, and Lightroom and Photoshop so she could do photography.
Yeah.
Which she'll never do.
So the key is money.
Throw lots of money. You know who's using the camera, the iMac, the Photoshop, the Lightroom?
Your kids or you?
Mwah.
You. Yeah.
Mwah.
Yeah. The key is either money or accept the fact that you can say anything you want about her on the
podcast.
Internet.
She'll never listen. She'll never listen. I really don't mind, but I understand that that's difficult, but I don't mind. We have other things we talk about.
Yeah.
She's not that techie and never will be.
Yeah.
But I'm sympathetic.
Yeah. You share his frustrations.
I share your frustration.
Yeah. Is that her calling you now on your iPhone?
As usual. Yes, as a matter of fact. It's all right. I put her on hold because I'm doing something much more important.
And she'll never know that you put her on hold.
No, because she doesn't listen. She's never listened to this podcast, even though she knows you so well.
Yeah.
She knows me, kind of. And she's never listened to this podcast.
Yeah.
Not once. She's never listened to Twit.
That's okay with me, with people that aren't, you know. Tech. I wish some of my friends were more like Web 2.0. I wish they were on more social networking sites because then they would feel really more social to me. But I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun. My real life friends, the friends around here are not very techie, but I have a huge group of friends that are, you know, that are techie friends, but they're not what you would call social friends.
Yeah.
But the people like Amber and all the people I know from Web 2.0, but they don't even live near me.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But my real friends, the ones I go to dinner with and stuff, nah, not techie at all. We're in a minority, I think.
Yeah.
We think because we talk to each other that we're in a majority. Nah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So I have, I think, one last email from Georgie. She says, I have been a big fan of the Twit podcast for quite some time now. When my husband told me that you guys were starting podcasts about raising kids in the tech age, I was very excited.
Aww.
We just had our first child. He's 5.5 months and
have
found the use of available technology so handy where, I don't know what that word is. We're keeping Relos in touch of bubs. progress is good.
The funny thing is, you think, oh, she can't read her handwriting or something. This is printed.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I should have read this before. I thought I did. I'm a bit of a blogger, and I've been keeping a blog for some years now. When I found out I was pregnant, I started a second blog about the whole pregnancy experience and have continued it with thoughts or mom to you. So she wants to fill us in on a few ways. She's already geeked up her son.
Right.
So within a day of him being born, we had an email address for him, and a follow-up emails announcing his name was sent from this email address. So he had his own email address on the day he was born.
And does he get a lot of email?
That's a good question.
By the time he's getting email, it'll be full of spam.
Yeah. Not only...
Oh, she means... I'm getting it now.
Yeah.
Rellos is relatives.
Oh, relatives.
In touch of bubs. And okay. The baby's project. I think this is Australian slang is what it is.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. She did say mom, so, yeah. You know, and pointed out that was mom to you. When we sent out thank you cards to people that had sent gifts and best wishes, we also included business cards. I like to call them personal cards with his full name, address, phone number, email address, and blog address. We got them through a website that will do 100 free cards as long as you have their website address on the back.
Oh,
you're
so
only
funny.
Charged for postage. I've heard of that place, too.
iPrint.
Yeah, but they send you like...
Or Vista.
Lots of... Yeah, Vista. Yeah, Vista and they print. Send you tons of spam after that, right?
Yeah.
Or email.
Well, you asked for it.
Right. We've also...
You know what's a good one is Moo.
Moo. Oh, yeah, from Flickr.
Yeah, because they'll then you'll have your Flickr pictures of your kid on.
Yes, I've ordered some little Flickr books that I really like, too. Little tiny ones.
Yeah, the Moo business cards are great.
Yeah. We then set up a Tumblr account that picks up every blog entry, YouTube video, and Flickr badge so that people are interested in keeping tabs on his son.
I just want to underscore this. This is 5.5-month-old baby.
Okay. Yeah. She's a geek. She's... Yeah.
This is so great.
I like that. She's going to get... Oh, wait. Oh, I don't think I can read the rest because it's about her Father's Day gift.
Oh, so and that's...
I have to
Father's
keep that
Day
secret.
In Australia is in September.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got to keep it a secret.
You can't say anything. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute.
So, yeah. That...
Oh, but it involves words written in binary.
Oh, nice.
Georgie is a major geek.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, please don't mention this part. And so I'm just going to say binary.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say what it is.
I think we've already said too much. Sorry,
Georgie. We've already said too much. Well, that's a great... Isn't that so sweet? I mean, that's amazing. See, that's the exact opposite of what we were talking about, Jennifer and me. I mean,
yeah.
That's
Well, you don't... I guess she doesn't really say if her husband's geeky, it might be the same thing. Could just
if
be
he's,
her.
If she's given him something written in binary...
Right, that's true.
Either he's a geek or he's not going to understand it at all. It's going to be surprising.
So, yeah, that's the... I have more mail, but I think we've used up our allotted time.
Good.
Hopefully you've put away all your dishes, put away all the toys while listening to this podcast, swept the floor. That's what I do.
I do want to mention that the secret is out for one more Twitmeister who's having a baby. We can now say officially who it is.
You say. I don't know which one.
You don't know which one. Well, he is Patrick Martin.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that secret.
They're having
was
a baby in September.
That's so soon.
Next
he kept
month.
That secret a long time.
I know.
So, yeah.
I know. So now we know officially one of the three.
Yeah.
There are two more Twitsters that are having babies in the next, roughly all the same time frame, September, October.
Call Patrick as soon as
Isn't
we're
that
done.
Isn't that great?
So get him booked on this show.
Well, you know what? That's a great... Or Sarah, too. That's great. I'd love to have Patrick and Sarah. Yeah. They were on the first episode of Twit together.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'd love to get the two of them on.
Yeah.
That's really great news.
That's exciting. Yeah. Congratulations,
Patrick. And we're going to wrap this thing up, but we hope you'll join us next week for... we got a great episode coming up. We're going to talk to
Mike Adamick,
who is a daddy blogger and takes care of us. He's the primary care provider. His wife works. Should be very interesting.
Yeah.
That's coming up next week. We'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.